T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
All my wolves begin to howl. Wake me up, the time is now. Oh, can you hear the trumpet? Oh, there's a revolution coming. Wild things that turn me on, drag my dog
into
the dawn.
It's a rule of life, isn't it? That when you need the air conditioning the most, that's when the air conditioning can't keep up. That just tells you something about the world, doesn't it? All right, thanks so much for being here today. We have an action-packed show for you, as always. And there are big issues going on in the state, big issues that are making people crazy. And we're going to talk about them. We will get into the electric bill thing with Len Susio. He will be here in a while. That's one, of course, that there is a clear explanation for. And I think your guess, the guesses that I've heard from people are pretty right on. But first off, joining us from the Yale School of Public Health, Dr. Harvey Risch is a epidemiologist, a professor of epidemiology, and he's got a piece in Newsweek, among other places, along with a bunch of other people who are announcing, high-level, educated, qualified, sophisticated doctors and all kinds of people who are declaring that there is a scam going on in the resistance to COVID. So let's welcome Dr. Harvey Risch to WTIC. Hello, sir. Thanks for being here.
Great to talk with you.
Tell us what caused you to step out and speak. What's going on?
I had been reviewing evidence for outpatient treatment of COVID-19 earlier this year in March and April, because it looked like the hospitals were beginning to get overcrowded with patients and they weren't doing such a good treatment job. There was too many deaths going on, and I thought, well, why aren't we doing anything about keeping people out of the hospital? And so I started looking at what treatments there were, and I pretty quickly saw, that one of them was hydroxychloroquine, and there were a few studies. And I basically tried to find everything there was to bear on studies looking at hydroxychloroquine, and discovered pretty quickly that there was a lot of blurring the lines between who was being studied and what conclusions the studies were making. And the problem is that, like viral diseases in general, they have to be treated early in order to stop the virus from replicating. Once the virus gets to a stage where it's out of control, inflammation starts, and then you have pneumonia. And it's a different treatment for pneumonia than it is for the virus itself. So the hydroxychloroquine had evidence that it works early. And it became evident very quickly in my research that outpatients who are at high risk of developing pneumonia are the ones that have to be treated, and they have to be treated in the first 4 or 5 days. They have to start treatment in the first 4 or 5 days. And so I started looking at studies that were only about...
Well, excuse me, doctor, let me just interrupt you for 1 second. So what you're saying is that you were isolating, in terms of thinking about this at least, those who were the most vulnerable for respiratory disease, and saying that they needed to be targeted by this drug.
That's correct. As we know now, people under age 60 with no chronic conditions who don't have obesity more or less do well on their own without treatment. It's uncomfortable, but they get over it by and large. A very small percentage will develop shortness of breath, and those people become what we call high risk, just like people over 60 or with chronic diseases or obesity, and those are the ones we're talking about treating. And we're talking about treating them ASAP outside the hospital before they get to the hospital so they don't get to the hospital. That's the whole point. And the studies that have looked at those kinds of people, so older people or with comorbidities, mm-hmm. Chronic conditions, treated early, all those studies show benefit. It shows that the drugs keep people out of the hospital and keep them from dying. So what's come along is pushback from others who are extrapolating from all this other literature of studies, hospital patients or younger patients who are at low risk, saying that because the drug doesn't work in them, therefore it doesn't work in older patients at high risk, which is false. Looking at hospital patients when it's a different disease, saying it doesn't work there, so it can't work for outpatients, that's a false extrapolation also. You have to be very...
Okay, but just to make sure everybody gets this, your investigation revealed that hydrochloroquine has huge benefits when used in this specific way, that is, to treat patients early, the most vulnerable people, who you're trying to keep out of the hospital because the hospital is the dangerous place to be. You'd rather not have to go there. And you're saying that this drug works great.
That is correct.
It has huge benefits
that
with very low morbidity.
That is correct.
Why is that news hard news to get out? Do you have any idea?
Well, I think that by now there are political agendas, financial agendas, that have totally clouded how people reason about this. And this is one of the points that I made in the Newsweek article, that our obligation as doctors is to save the lives of the patients and then argue about the politics and not vice versa.
But this is the part that interests me most, more than the medical part of it. And I don't get it. How do you absorb this as somebody who is a system guy? You're inside the system. You work in a big institution. You're used to, I would assume, as an epidemiologist at Yale, you're used to the good guys making the good things happening, illuminating the good treatments, not trying to destroy them. Is this new? Is my assumption correct? And what do you think is going on, if so?
I think there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes involvement so let me give you an example. A few years ago, the editors of the New England Journal and Lancet and Journal of the American Medical Association and so on were registering public complaints that drug companies were using those journals to push drug company studies to formulate them in such a way that they would be more or less automatically accepted into those journals and to just flood them, the market, with those studies. And they felt an inordinate pressure from these drug companies that were doing that. I think that effect has pervaded a large part of the medical establishment today, that people who spend their careers doing randomized controlled trials are basically funded by drug companies and have allegiances to drug companies and put out what they see is the world according to drug companies. And I think that's a problem that is not as objective as you would want it to be. And so I'm probably going to get a lot of pushback for saying this, but I think that there's a lot of conflicts of interest out there, both revealed and unrevealed, and I think that is much more of the underlying issue than the political one.
Yeah, but it's not just conflict of interest sounds kind of benign. You're talking about a rigged system in which drug companies have the ability to use the most esteemed journals in the world, that they can rig the reviewing there and push acceptance of something that shouldn't be accepted, or maybe vice versa, into the marketplace of ideas, polluting it.
Well, I think that's maybe a little overstatement, but it's in that direction. I think that if you look, for example, at the NIH committee that reviewed remdesivir and hydroxychloroquine, that committee had 16 of its 49 scientists that had drug company affiliations, and I don't see in the world why that is a relevant thing to have an objective review of those medications when one of the medications is produced by a drug company and the other medication is produced by 50 drug companies and is generic and cheap and nobody's invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to level and make the playing field fair. I think that is certainly true.
But this is, if the people doing the research can't get grant dollars for their research, they don't get funded for their research, that's a pretty powerful leveraging of the system. You combine that with the fact that the journals are biased in what they're putting out or otherwise, and that's a pretty big rigged system, isn't it? Doesn't
not
that concern you?
That might speak to what gets studied, but not necessarily the results of the things that do get studied. So
mm-hmm.
I think that there's a sense that there's this pressure behind the scenes. It doesn't necessarily color whether something is effective or not. I'm all for drug companies doing great work and getting great drugs out. I think that's an important part of our economy and our society. But I think that it has to be done in a fair way and an open way so that we have as much objective information, you know, as is available.
We're talking to Dr. Harvey Risch from Yale. So what else do you want us to know before you go?
I think that we're in a place where we have a medication that works. We need the FDA has basically put a roadblock to being able to use it for outpatients. And I think they need to reevaluate their evidence, that people need to say to the FDA, this is, you're just the average person, you know, in society, say, look, there's this evidence for it. What are you waiting for? Why are you not letting this be used? The FDA says that they are, but in fact they're not. 44 states in the U.S. are blocking usage of this medication because they rely on what the FDA has said. And that has to be changed, and as soon as possible.
In your article in Newsweek, you describe doctors who are doing the studies on the hydroxychloroquine as heroic in terms of the risk that they're putting their careers and their esteem under. That sounds like strong leveraging, too, in terms of trying to make sure that for some reason hydroxychloroquine doesn't make it into the marketplace. And I take it your theory is because of the drug companies are excited about getting new drugs into the marketplace. They don't want a cheap old one to prevail.
Yes, and I think I now know of 6 doctors across the U.S. who are getting investigated by the medical licensing board for saving the lives of hundreds of their patients.
Okay. That it? Have you told us what we need to know?
I think so. I think that's the sense of where it's at now.
All right. Thank you, sir, for your time. I know you're very busy. Appreciate you appearing here on WTIC.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you. That's Dr. Harvey Risch, a professor of epidemiology at Yale School of Public Health. He is underselling what he's saying, but what he's saying is that the system of break, I don't think I'm putting words in his mouth. The researchers are put their careers at risk to do the research, which he says is incredibly compelling. The drug companies control what gets published in Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine because they have such leverage with advertising dollars. They control what drugs get researched because of the amount of money they push out into the marketplace. And this is how people make their careers. This is scary stuff, powerful stuff. And there is a movement now amongst doctors. We'll talk about it more in a minute. But there's a movement now amongst doctors who had a press conference yesterday. They're working to try to break through and get the truth out on this drug. Is it possible that this drug, that there was a conspiracy to kill it because President Trump was behind it and he might have found success politically with it? Maybe that's what's going on, too. 860-522-9842. More coming up on WTIC. So that was great having Harvey Risch on. That was fantastic. Because what is he telling us? What do we look into all the time here? We're looking into the lack of credibility that power has in our country. Whether you're looking at the state, whether you're looking at the federal government, whatever, you're looking at rigged power. Big business, same thing. The power is rigged for the powerful. our elected representatives who pretend to represent us don't represent us. They represent the powerful. The more they say they're for the little guy, that's how much more they're for the big guy. And here we have an epidemiologist from Yale, along with a bunch of other doctors across the country who are saying, and to me, this is big news. They're saying that hydroxychloroquine, the drug that was pushed by the president, that the whole media machinery attacked, that not just the media machinery, but the institutional mechanisms that control which drugs come to market, which drugs get used. They were immediately sending out disinformation, it seems, to destroy the credibility of the drug. And I was wondering this, when the president does something that is clearly out of sync with what the wave of coverage in the media is offering up as an explanation for what's going on. You remember, they were saying hydroxychloroquine, dangerous. It will hurt you. Don't you dare take it for COVID. Well, Donald Trump went on it. Why did he go on the drug at the moment when the wind was blowing in the other direction? And I think this is how Trump works. He's going to do what he knows has efficacy. And I had that thought at the time. There's a reason Trump is saying this. Alan Canton, hi, Al.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, a caller recently made a comment about pharmaceutical companies holding on to the generics and trying to sell a more expensive new drug.
Yes.
My company and a lot of others donated millions of those pills when New York City was the epicenter. So we donated it. We're just trying to get it out and help the country. So I'm not sure where he got his, where he's thinking is coming from, but it's not accurate.
So you're saying that your company was pushing the hydroxychloroquine or some other drug?
We just donated the hydroxychloroquine, hydroxy.
Trying to help people. So you're saying you guys aren't looking to stop this drug from making a breakthrough. If it broke through, you guys would sell it.
We're still selling. We still produce it. We just donated millions of pills just to help people out, help the cities out.
Yeah, but so what do you think? Where do you think the energy comes from? Perhaps from the companies that are making the new stuff and want to be able to put a $30 a dose drug on the market instead of $1 a month or $2 a month. Do you think it might be that?
It could be that, yes. But with any...
All right, Al. I'm sorry, drug, what's that, Al?
To a certain extent, yes, I would agree with that. But every drug costs a certain amount of money just to get to market. So that recouping the cost kind of keeps the Ferris wheel going. So
it does, yes. But also the profits are in the new, I mean, this represents a big opportunity, whoever comes up with the solution to, or one of the maybe several solutions to COVID. There's going to be big money made if it's a new drug versus an old one that's already been marked down, right?
Oh, that's true, yeah. And with the number of people around the world that's going to need it, they won't need to mark it up much to make a sizable profit. So I'm not sure what they'll charge it when they release it, but no matter what they do, they're going to make a lot of money off it.
Al, thank you so much for the call. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Don't forget, we do the rant line at 5 o'clock. That number, 860-751-4698. We just had Dr. Harvey Risch on from the Yale School of Public Health. And he did a column in Newsweek. He's part of a group who are pushing to get hydroxychloroquine, the audience, the respect and the honest evaluation they say it deserves. And they say it's not getting that. And to me, you know, I'm always looking for the stories that are feeding into the way we are getting used by big players in the background. And I'm the last person to jump on conspiracy theories, but this carries a lot of weight to me, a guy like him going out and talking the way he's talking. We're going to pause for news. We'll talk more. We'll have Len Susio join us to talk about, well, he's talking about electric bills. Find out the latest from the state capitol on the police bill and all the other legislation they're considering. A lot to cover after news on WTIC.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.